Send your apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for the Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the June 6th episode of Tiny Shutter Podcast. I'm here with Mark, and we have Matt back this week. Matt, how was your vacation?
It was fantastic, but I gotta tell you, it is good to be back. I missed you guys last week.
Oh, we missed you too.
Did you? Your photos said otherwise.
I for one, enjoyed living vicariously through your photos.
I had no idea someone could limbo that low.
Yeah, right. with a grass skirt on.
All right, boys. What do you say we hop into the news?
Sounds good.
Cool. All right, this week we're going to start out with... It seems like everything happens right after we record the show news. Last week, shortly after we were finished recording, news came out that the Mitt Romney camp launched a photo app, a photography app called I'm With Mitt. And basically, the app allows you to take pictures, then gives you a choice of transparency overlays of different campaign slogans and phrases, or the phrase rather, I'm With Mitt. Then you get standard sharing options after that, to kind of show your friends their allegiance to the Mitt Romney campaign. Shortly after the app launched, though, it was quickly realized by everybody, basically, that there was a tragic misspelling in a fairly critical word when you're running for president, and that is that instead of being a better America, I'm with Mitt, the app actually read, or this particular overlay actually read, a better Amercia, I'm with Mitt. So that was funny.
If you're a conspiracy theorist, you can see that it's America, but the CIA is involved.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't have a soundbite for that.
I thought it was funny. I grabbed the app. I managed to grab it before the update pushed. And that's basically why I wanted to really talk about this. I mean, it was funny. It was funny news, and there was a whole bunch of funny photos prancing around the web with the new overlay on it. But what I wanted to talk about was how fast they got an update pushed for it to correct the problem. And the reason it's interesting to me is if you recall when we had Mike from Jagger on, the developer for 645 Pro, that was one of his biggest complaints with Apple, is that pushing a update through was still a process where you had to get approval and go through the whole approval process that could take anywhere from 5 to 7 or 8 days. Even if there was a significant bug fix that had to happen, your only option was either to pull it out of the store, or to just sit there and wait and get the fury of complaints. But that wasn't obviously the case with the I'm With Mitt app. That app was repaired. I want to say it was within a day, if not shortly longer.
Now, I don't know if I'm remembering this incorrectly, but I think I remember somebody saying that you can launch your updates immediately after you launch the regular app. So it's kind of, they might have noticed this well in advance, but to us, the app launched, and then in the pipeline, the correction came down the line and immediately got corrected. I mean, that's a possibility too.
I guess that's a possibility. I would think that with this, and I understand exactly what you're saying. So what you're saying is they put it in for the approval process, and mm-hmm. then right afterwards they realized, ooh, we made a boo-boo, push the update as fast as we can too. And then that means that the broken app is going to hit the store, but the repair is going to be coming right shortly after it.
Right. They fire somebody.
Right. I would think that if you noticed this kind of tragic error, you would pull it from the app store and start from scratch with a new upload. But I don't even know if that's possible. I don't even know if once it's in the pipe, if you can pull the plug on it and start from scratch.
Yeah.
But we noticed also recently that Facebook had the same thing, and that may have been what happened with Facebook's camera app. Facebook just launched their camera app just before our last show, and we didn't talk about it, but they also had, within the same day, an update to version 1.whatever.
Yeah, within a few hours. Right. And it's funny because I got it when it was first announced, noticed that the app was running really hot, and then immediately afterwards they had a fix for that. So I wonder if they were able to do that much if they have a whole team working on the app that fast.
Or maybe just if you're that rich, you're allowed to get apps pushed through the Apple Store. Or if you're in cohesion with Apple, because apparently that's another rumor. We're not going to get into it, but that Facebook is going to be integrated with iOS 6.
Yes, and this could also be why their app still sucks. Why bother working on it when you're going to be in iOS 6?
Very possible. All right, let's move on. And in convenient segue news, speaking of Jagger and updates, 6.4.5 Pro version 1.11.1 is in the pipe and waiting for approval. The update includes adding artist metadata, as well as what they are classifying as experimental features, or an experimental feature, and that is a new feature that will allow the use of the LED light on the back of your camera as a focus assist beam during photo capture. So that's kind of cool.
That is really cool, and I'm surprised nobody's thought of that sooner.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
Keith, did you say it's in the pipeline waiting for approval?
Yeah, according to the article that I read this morning on Jagger, it is waiting.
If you go to your updates right now, it's ready to rock and roll.
Okay, this just in.
All right, breaking news.
Breaking news. This just in, Jagger version 1.11.1 is now live in the App Store. Get your butts over there and try out the new Focus Assist Beam. Our next bit of news will be helpful to our listeners that catch the show on release day. If you follow the Facebook page, you would have got a free app alert last week letting you know that Snapseed was available for free. Well, as of right this minute, it is actually still available in the App Store. And thanks to a friend of the show, Joseph Herrera, we found out today that it's actually going to be available for free until Thursday the 7th. There's nothing in the app listing defining the time period for the special, but if you don't have Snapseed, go to the App Store right now when you're hearing this. Go to the App Store right now and get it, even if it's not free anymore, because it's totally worth the $5 price tag that it comes with. And so speaking of that, guys, I wanted to mention or chat with you real briefly about... I occasionally hear folks getting kind of grumpy about apps that they've paid for going for free right after they paid for them, you know, going on special for free right after they paid for them. And as I mentioned, Snapseed is worth every penny of $5, and if you paid for it, you got nothing to be bummed out about, because it's totally worth the $5. But as far as missing out on free apps in general, I kind of understand the frustration. What do you guys think?
I don't mind so much. I mean, things go on sale all the time.
I mean, it's basically a marketing tool. It's just like buying a mattress, and then next week you see a sale for 50% off of mattresses.
Right.
I can't say that it really bothers me all that much. I guess it would just depend how much the app was.
Yeah.
You know, although I can see the other side of the fence here. I mean, just last week I was complaining that an app was $1 too much. And it was $1.99 instead of 99 cents.
Right.
We have this weird perception about the App Store. Like the slightest change makes a difference, and we will complain.
So do you guys have any personal rules? I know I have a personal rule about apps as far as buying and getting and whatnot. Do you guys have any rules as far as how you acquire your apps? I mean, if you find an app that you feel is borderline, may or may not be worth the money, do you bite, or do you wait and see if it goes on special, or do you just forget about it and move on?
Well, something interesting happened to me over the weekend, actually. Kristen from the focus group actually sent out a advisory about a really, really cool bird watching app.
That's right, I saw that.
Yes.
That is a very cool app.
It was $20 or $20 or $30, and it was on sale for something ridiculously cheap. I don't even use the app, and I bought it just in case I would one day use this app. So I have that weird tick in me that says, oh my God, this is on sale, I gotta buy it, I'm saving so much money.
It's funny because I have a similar rule. Basically, my rule as far as app purchases goes is this: if I come across an app and the price is whatever the price is, but I feel like it's worth it, then I buy it. And if I see it go for free, it doesn't faze me. It doesn't piss me off. And if I do get free app alerts, and for those of you listening, if you go to facebook.com/tinyshutter, you can get those free app alerts occasionally. Jump on a free app when you see it. I mean, and this goes for all apps, but especially for photography apps, because there's so many photography apps out there. There's just tons and tons and tons of them. I know we'll probably have three more in the focus points today. And if you get them when they're free, if they're marginally good, then great, you got it for free. If they stink, then great, you got it for free. But if you keep staying on top of them, you may just come across the next Snapseed. I got Snapseed for free way back when it first came out, and I've been loving it ever since. So, finally, I want to move into Kickstarter news. And first, a company named Trigger LLC has announced their Kickstarter project for an iPhone case with a built-in sliding polarizer. The set price is going to be $49.95, and the article reads, "Next to a tripod, a polarizing filter is the most frequently purchased accessory in the photographer's bag. The Trigger camera case brings the same polarizing filter and functionality to your iPhone camera." So I find that part interesting, because at $49.95, when the only feature it has is a sliding polarizer filter, and it's geared towards photographers clearly, I'm curious why they wouldn't include a tripod mount. I'm just judging by the pictures that it does not have a tripod mount.
It also looks very Photoshopped. I think this is just
maybe rendered
images or something like that.
Maybe that'll be something that comes along. But anyway, that's a thing. Trigger LLC, and I will obviously put the link in the show notes. But a sliding polarizer filter. All right, let's move on. Next on the Kickstarter list is a unit that does include a 1/4-20 tripod mount. It's called the Grip and Shoot. It's a pistol-style Bluetooth-connected shutter grip for the iPhone 4 or 4S, similar to the iPhone shutter grip that I reviewed and we are giving away here on Tiny Shutter in the next couple weeks. The Grip and Shoot must be used with the Grip and Shoot app. However, note, according to their video, they have designed the app with an open API so that any app developer can use the functionality of the grip, and shoot hardware, and not even necessarily just for cameras, but imagine it for video games and stuff like that. So the tripod mount can also be used without the grip, allowing you to keep the grip with you and trigger the camera remotely, which I think is pretty cool too.
That's interesting. Now, this is the only bit of information that I haven't read on. And I'd like to know, is this something that's properly balanced for the iPhone? Because I could see this being very cumbersome.
No, I'm telling you, the way it looks to me, it looks very comfortable. I have a couple kind of nits about it, but it definitely looks comfortable, and it definitely would. I mean, it's basically giving you the nice thing for those of us who can't stand the YouTube videographers that shoot with their cameras vertically. This only has a mount to use the video camera horizontally, to use the camera at all.
Yes, thank God for that.
Horizontally. Well, it stinks if you want to take a portrait, because it does not have a mount available for it for portrait orientation.
No, you just hold it gangsta style.
So yeah, that's one of my quirks. The other thing is obviously that it's only available to be used with their app currently, and depending on whether or not anybody bites on actually using the API to open up and incorporate it into their apps, well, I mean, why not? But I don't know the ins and outs of the behind the scenes as far as what's required to get that done. However, I think it's cool. I like this one. I like the fact that it's Bluetooth and not requiring you to go into the pin connector. So it doesn't limit you. I mean, like if you have a 4 and you upgrade to a 4S, it'll work on both of them. Depending on what the body style changes for the 5, might not work for that. But it's a matter of getting a new case as opposed to getting a new entire grip and everything.
Right.
So purchase price on this is slated for $99.95.
And that's where they lose me.
Yeah. That's up there. And for that, it better have a really, really good build quality. that I mean, that just puts
that's
it
just
out there
too much.
It's a lot. So I guess you would need to be really, really, really in love with this and really, really need something similar to this. However, if you pledge $90 or more right now, you get it for pre-order price at $90, as opposed to getting it for the $99.95.
Still lost me.
Mod in the focus group says that this thing better come with an $80 rebate.
All right. So that's it for news, boys. Let's move on into the feature, Mark.
Awesome. Today's feature, we are going to be talking about care of the iPhone. Matt, you said you had a, you just bought a new iPhone case, right?
I did, yes.
And which one was that?
It's called the LifeProof case.
Cool. And what are the cool features about your case?
All right. So the LifeProof case is definitely not marketed as like an iPhone photography specific thing. It's really more of a have your phone in any kind of environment situation and not have to worry about whether you're going to damage it or not. It markets itself as being waterproof, dustproof, snowproof, and shockproof rather. As you guys know, I went down to the beach last week, and I knew that I was going to want to take pictures on the beach, and I thought, geez, you know, I have an OtterBox, but I know sand is going to get in there, like probably through the headphone jack or something like that. I really just don't want to screw up my phone. So I decided, you know, this case is kind of pricey. The retail price is $79.99, but I thought, you know, it's cheaper than buying a new phone when I get home from vacation. So I love this case. It's now definitely my permanent case for my phone. I tested it out. I jammed the phone in the sand. No sand got through like the speaker port, like where the speakers are. No sand got through any of the seals. I put the phone in the surf in the ocean and let the surf run over it.
No, you didn't.
I did. Well, so before I did that, when I first got the case, I put the case, I tested just the case out to make sure it was waterproof when I first got the case before I went on vacation. I kept it basically just submerged in a sink for an hour.
Damn.
And
wow.
There was no water inside the case at all. And so I was a little bit nervous putting it in the water at the beach, but not one drop of water got through this case. And it has a, for the headphones, the like a plug basically that screws in that has a waterproof seal.
Oh, that's so sweet. I was going to ask about that.
Yep. And then the case comes with an adapter so that you can still use your headphones. The iPhone headphones will plug right in without any kind of adapter, but most other headphones need the adapter that comes with the case. Mm-hmm. And your charging, good gosh, what do you call that? The cable with all the pins.
Yeah.
That will fit into the case and fit in. But if you use like a speaker dock or something like that, you need like an extender.
Yeah.
To be able to use that. That's the only like real thing. As far as for photography goes, you know, I'm always taking pictures outside, so having this kind of protection is like right up my alley. And the over the lens of the camera, it's not plastic, it's actually a glass lens. Mm-hmm. With an anti-reflective coating on it, so it's a pretty good quality. And all the pictures I took with it, in my opinion, they looked pretty clear. You know, I made sure I kept the glass clean, no fingerprints on it or anything. And I have to tell you guys, I'm really happy with this case. It's pretty sweet.
This is really important. You just nailed it right there. Is if you want to do something a little bit more, even slightly more extreme, like getting up to the surf with the ocean, or say taking some close-up photos of some rapids, you really want to protect that iPhone really well. Like when I take photos of the ocean, I'm very, very careful of dropping my iPhone. And because of that, I tend to be a little bit more gun-shy when photographing. And I miss a few shots here and there. But this is something that I definitely love to purchase. You have me sold on that.
The only thing that I wish it floated so you didn't have to worry. They do sell an accessory. It's basically, it looks kind of like a foam-like thing that the case
fits into.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a life vest for this case. And I have dropped my phone in the ocean off my kayak.
Oh, you had another protecting case on, right?
I did, yes. And I actually had to dive about 8 feet down in the ocean in Maine to get my phone last year.
Nice. Well, I've always been hesitant in spending serious money for an iPhone case. I figure I've already spent enough serious money on the phone itself. Why the heck would I need to do that? I spent $20 on a case that I bought at a kiosk at the mall, and it was supposed to, you know, surround the phone. It was supposed to protect it very well, but the only thing that it didn't protect against was dust. And let me tell you, dust can do some serious damage to that glass. When I popped it out just recently, the glass was all scratched up. Not my lens. Thank God my lens was okay. But you would think that I ran my phone through a cheese grater. It just looks horrible. And I used the case to protect it so I could resell it afterwards. So much for that. But
I used...
go on.
I was just going to say, I had a similar situation. Way back, I had an OtterBox for my first-gen iPhone. And I left it in there all the time.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, dust gets in there. And just through the normal movement and wear and kind of everything else, it was really kind of rough and beat up just because of being in that case for that long.
Right now, I am using, if you, for the focus group, you can see my iPhone case. I am using the case that came with my telephoto lens. And this is... it's temporary, but it's doing a good job protecting the phone for now. And I think I'm going to buy what Matt has.
All right, boys, before we move into the focus points for this week, I have what's apparently going to become a regular portion of the show, and I'm loving it to death, is our Postagram segment. Received some more Postagrams this week, and I'm going to read them off here. I got this awesome picture of a little, like, southwesternish kind of looking villa. It's from Bill, and Bill writes, "Great podcast. Always look forward to each episode. This is the Kelso Depot Visitor Center in the Mojave National Preserve." I was close. See that? So he shot it with Camera Plus and used Snapseed to edit it because Snapseed rocks. And you know what? We have another one here from Superfan Blaine. And Superfan Blaine writes, "Hi again, guys. Thought you might like a moon snap." And this is a phenomenally awesome picture of the moon. It's a full frame filling picture of a half moon. And I will make sure I put this up on the show notes so you folks can see it. Thanks again, Blaine, for that and for an awesome shot. And we will move on now. Don't forget, we still have Postagram promo codes available. If you head to tinyshutter.com, you'll find a link there, or you can head to postagramapp.com/tinyshutter and get our information there. The promo code, at one point or another, if you're presented with the opportunity to fill in the promo code, it is tinyshutter, and that will give you 5 free Postagrams. If you mail one to us, I will mention you on the show. I will be very grateful, and I will also add you into the drawing for the iPhone Shutter Grip giveaway.
And something really cool about the Postagram postcards that you received, I just recently ordered one for myself and one for my dad as a thank you for watching my daughter when we were sick. They are pretty resilient with the rain. Since it's been raining all weekend, our mailbox kind of sucks, and all of our mail got wet. But the Postagrams, they came out pretty good.
Cool.
They were pretty water resistant because of the nice seal, the nice coating that they have.
One last point about Postagram is if you get the Postagram, you'll notice there's a QR code on the bottom left-hand side of the Postagram. Use the Postagram app to scan that, and what it will do is give you one credit, and it will also give a credit to the person who sent you that Postagram. And when it gives them the credit, it will also send them a nice little thank you saying, hey, your friend just read your Postagram, and they said thank you by scanning the code. And now you get a credit. 5 credits get you a free Postagram. So I just found out 2 or 3 days ago that Kristen had read and scanned the Kristen from the focus group had read and scanned the Postagram that I had sent her. So do that, and let's move on.
Cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, very cool. Definitely, you got to scan them. So let's move on to the focus points.
This week's focus point is brought to you by Stitcher. Get all your favorite radio shows and podcasts like The Tiny Shutter all on your iOS device. Go to stitcher.com/Tiny Shutter and get your app today. This week, my focus point is a little bit with the astronomy flavor, because today is the day that Venus goes across the sun, and I was not able to photograph that wonderful celestial event because of clouds. Thank you, God. But what I did was get a bunch of apps that it's kind of photography related, but it's still pretty cool. Sky Safari is on sale right now for 99 cents. I think it's 70% off the price because of this wonderful celestial event. And it's basically a great way to view the constellations. It'll sync with your phone, and you could hold it up to any particular constellation and it will identify it for you. And the cool thing is that even though I was not able to see the event today, I was able to view the event digitally with this app. So I had this nice electronic view of the sun and Venus going right across it. So that was kind of cool. My only one gripe with this app is that it's constantly asking me to synchronize the compass. And I was kind of bummed by that, but I don't know if it was something that I was doing wrong or if it was something that was, maybe there's a bug in the app. I'm not too entirely sure, but for 99 cents, get it right now. It's good until tomorrow. If you're listening to this via iTunes, it's good until June 6th. So get it today for 99 cents, which is pretty cool. And one more, just as a little bonus, this one's free. Hubble Top 100 is a iPad-only app that shows the best 100 photos of the Hubble telescope. And if you're looking for some good background images for your iPad or just really like looking at great telescope photos, check it out. It's really, really cool. And that one's free.
Hey, Matt, what do you have for a focus point this week?
Well, I am a sucker for new apps and free apps. So I saw an app the other day that is free right now in the App Store. It's called Photer-Camera Bag. This is an app that pretty much does everything, kind of. It does have a camera, and it does things like has a timer, a digital zoom. It can do like multiple photos a second, stabilization. But where this app really shines, I think, is in all of the other features besides the camera. I wasn't too impressed with the camera function. You can touch on the screen for focus, focus and exposure, but you can't separate the two. So the camera kind of loses points there. But all the other features in this app are really cool. There's a HDR feature, which I need to test it out some more, but I think it works just about as well as Pro HDR, except it works a lot faster than Pro HDR.
It is a much faster shutter. I've tested it out, but not on anything worth HDRing.
Same here. I just did a couple quick tests with both apps, and This one was consistently faster, and I couldn't tell too much difference in the results. Has a feature called Big Aperture, and basically that's kind of like a tilt shift simulator. Well, not really tilt shift. It's more of a bokeh simulator, kind of soft focus sort of thing. And you could select how much of the effect you want, and you do that by selecting different f-stops. So I think it starts at 2.8 and goes up to f16, and you can adjust like the size of the effect, and I think it does a pretty good job. It does the color splash, which I'm not a big fan of, but if you like that sort of thing, that effect is there. And it also has a lot of filters and frames, and there's a ton of filters. I haven't counted them all, but there's probably at least 50 or 60 different filters, and a lot of them are actually really cool filters. And just like a lot of the other apps that we like, you can adjust the intensity of the filter, and you can stack them as well. So that is something that's pretty cool. And then the other thing is you could do collages if you want three or four, you know, photos to go together. You could do that sort of thing as well.
Interesting.
That's pretty cool.
And that's sitting at free right now, Matt?
It is, yep.
Probably limited time.
I think so, yes.
This is why it's important to be part of the Tiny Shutter Facebook group, because it was announced early this morning.
And in the focus group, secondarily, you would have just heard it just now as opposed to when you're hearing it now. You would have heard it then instead of now, which would have been yesterday or possibly the day before. All right, so my focus point this week is a app that I just downloaded today, although I heard about it last week in my in one of my Facebook groups. It's called Shoot Local. And what Shoot Local is, and I'm just going to read from one of these little articles that I read about it. The perspective of Shoot Local is simple. On a hyper-local level, harness the inherent drive to share with others via social media and leverage it to crack open an entire industry, letting the community drive creativity and efficiency. And basically what this does is a couple of different things. It kind of adds a Foursquare-ish type of thing to a platform that's sort of similar to Instagram, sort of similar to Foursquare, and sort of similar to, say, I don't know, Google Maps or something. What it does is it offers photographers and cinematographers, videographers, a source to go to. And let's say I'm going to Boston tomorrow, and I'm looking for a particular type of location to shoot an engagement couple. Basically, I can put it out there to the community, or I can search the community and find the most pristine location that fits into the criteria that I'm looking for. The app has basically it has a stream just like Instagram does. It has a nearby feature similar to, say, Yelp, where you could push that button and it will find locations near the location you're at. It also has a hunts feature, which is basically you trying to find the particular location that you're looking for, and several other options as far as advanced searches and communication availability with other users. So anyway, that's cool. It's a free app, so it's free now, free always. So head over and kind of dig into it. I am still digging into it. Maybe if it becomes something that I'm super enthusiastic about, I will write a review on it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We're going to wind down this show, and I am going to ask Mark and Matt to let us know where we can find them.
Well, you could always find me, Mark Sadowski, on twitter.com/mostlymarcus, or you could find me on Instagram, username LensWipe.
All right, you guys can find me on Instagram at mhoffmanphoto.
And you guys can get me on Instagram at Keith_Tharp. Remember to head over to facebook.com/tinyshutter and like us there. Also head over to tinyshutter.com for links and information to everything we discussed on today's show. And I also want to throw in a quick thank you to everybody in the focus group that stuck in there with us tonight. And thanks to my two co-hosts. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you again next week.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That was miserable.
It's all right.
What the f***? What'd you do? Just break somebody's neck?
Zombie apocalypse. This week's my focus point is...
You sound terrible.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Nah.
A little bit like a puppet.
One last mess up again.
One?
All right, so cool. Awesome. That's stupid. Thanks to the show...
Joseph in the focus group.
Cut this out if you don't think it's good, but...
Don't you dare go Dave Coulier on me.
Blah, 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 blah. I don't use an iPhone case, so... I'm just stupid.
Seriously, I think we can move to the next point.
Oh, we're gonna. I burped.
That's all right.
Hey, Matt, what do you got this... Wow.
Yeah, but hang on. I'll get him off.
Oh, you what?
I'll get him off. Yeah, that's right. Sexy.
Wow.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week. Suck it, Android.